You're listening to the Carol Cox Show on 1080 AM K108.
Feel the beat of the drums and the beat of your own heart as you and your family encounter lions running loose in the lush tropical setting of Foster Botanical Gardens. You've seen the Chinese lion dancing at New Year? Well, meet this mythical creature's cousins from Korea, Okinawa, northern China, and special visiting lions from Africa, Japan, and Nepal. Join the lion dance journey at Foster Botanical Gardens Sunday, August 28th. Doors open at 4:15. More info at 808-524-8416 or join us at liondancejourney.com.
Alrighty, good morning and welcome to the Carol Cox Show. Do apologize for that brief pause, but sometimes things don't flow as you hope they go, but every day isn't perfect, right? Well, I appreciate all of you joining me here today, and I'm again excited. I'm able to connect the dots, and I don't know where to start, really. I bothered to try and read tons and tons of emails and documents and some of the things that that are happening in the news just really floored me and how matters are being treated and what have you. So guess what I did? Because it's not a popular thing to do, and I guess I had to because it was so tempting and challenging. I looked at several things on the Leeward Community Benefits Project program over there, and I was thinking the landfill and the issues, and as you know, there was a big story in the newspapers this week regarding panelists on the Land Use Commission, the City Planning Commission, Mr. Andrew Jamila. And what happened is the story was told, and now some of you remember back in June of 2010, and to be exact, on June 27th, 2010, I shared with you, the listeners, hoo-hoo going on or craziness going on with the Leeward Community Benefits Package, Ms. Patty Teruya, the appointment of Mr. Andrew Jamila by former Mayor Mufi Hanneman, and I told you that I had written the City Council asking them to object and reject his appointment. I also wrote to Chairman at that time of the City Council, Todd Oppo, and to date, never received a single response from the City Council. So that tells you where they are. They only talk to us when you're putting money in their hand, and that includes all of them. I didn't get a single response from any of them. But as a citizen, I bothered to go out and see that something was wrong and file an ethics complaint. That ethics complaint was that Mr. Andrew Jamila had filled out his application and failed to disclose that he received any funding from the city. And I notified the City Council of that, notified the chairman again, notified Hanneman. Well, Hanneman is the one who submitted it. And if you also, this is going to take a lot of discussion here, and I've actually posted an interview that I had with Andrew Jamila in 2010 regarding this subject, and you'll hear in that interview, Mr. Jamila says that, tell me in the interview that Chuck Tato approved his involvement with the Leeward Community Benefit Package, the grants, and his serving on the panelist as a panelist on the Planning Commission. Well, Jamila put in here, have you ever been convicted of a felony? No. And he's going to be appointed to, says the board commission nominated. He was Andrew Jamila. Are you a citizen of the U.S.? Yes. Do you Or does any member of your immediate family hold office or own stock in any firm that does business with the city? No. Does the firm do business with the city and the county of Honolulu? He indicated no. Do you have any part-time employment, professional activity, or financial interest other than those indicated in the previous questions? And he indicated no. Well, I looked at this and I filed a complaint saying that if you're going to basically, it's just a bald-faced lie. He knew it, and not only did he know it, he indicated that he had gone and talked to Chuck Tato, and who had approved it. Chuck Tato is the ethics commissioner, commission head there at the level of complaints. So why would this happen? Well, I allege that in my complaint that the relationship is one that does not set well and does not benefit the public and could possibly be used in giving him, as it's been disclosed, at least $120,000 for a period of 2 to 3 years. And that money comes from the Leeward Community Benefit Package, of which current Mayor Carlisle attempted to cut that out of the budget. And we're going to talk about that. And I have an interesting guest here who has front row seat, knows everything about this and the development. And rather than chattering on, I hope you get from today's discussion with you is that you're going to see that our city council, you know, you remember Ra Tam used the term wetbacks, the expression in reference to the Mexican Americans, and so it's demeaning, it's nasty, it's as some of you in this colorblind society now, the N-word and the race card and all of that, and the reality is all of that is being played while we are being pretending that there is no racism in government, racism in our society, and some of us say, well, yeah, there is still. But we're going to share with you today City Councilman Tom Berg's emails where he refers to Asian people or Chinese people in the most horrific, nastiest word that you can mention, and jokes and things. So, no, as I told you, we were just dealing with the tip of the Tom Berg when we first start this up, and when I had Eric Ryan on, and I alluded to that the way the supporters had come to support Kimberly Pine and all, they were, it was the equivalent of wearing Aloha shirts instead of the Ku Klux Klan's gowns with the hoods. So what I'm about to tell you is that, yeah, we have, there are emails that where Mr. Berg referenced Asian people, and he also speaks poorly of injured or handicapped, we'll call it, soldiers, specifically a soldier in particular. So we're going to talk about that, and we're going to show you the benefits package, that one that Andrew Jamila was in, and remember this name now, Patty Teruya. And we're going to be able to share with you Patty Teruya's role. And I'm particularly interested in this part of the show, and I want you to carefully listen and understand. I've brought back Eric Ryan again, and this is not to hash out the Kimberly Pine and the Tom Berg issues. This is to bring light and share with you. You know those golfers, a great many of the senior citizens who have found that when they retired, they would use a municipal golf course, and that played a big role in their lives as far as them getting out, getting exercise, and it was something they can afford, and a lot of them had planned around it. We're going to share with you today how, in fact, and this is why I brought Mr. Ryan back, I want to share with you how hundreds, if not thousands, of senior citizens were impacted by simply a stroke of the pen, with no logic, no nothing, and have been in these golfers, their fees were raised, and would you believe it was tied directly into the Leeward Community Benefit Package program at the landfill? Probably going to have that difficult to believe, but I want to get beyond the he, as some of the others describe it, as he say, they say, she say. I'm interested in inviting Eric Ryan in because he gives us, the taxpayer, the voters, the citizens, some greater insight into what is the craziness that's going on and how one councilman, and they're all doing it now. I don't want to include, there's Ann Kobayashi. She got her game and her tricks. We talk about Tom Berg. I understand Milton Holt is back there working in Ann Kobayashi's office. I had mentioned it earlier. But nothing seems to, you can't look at it at face value and trust any of these so-called politicians. And I think their behavior in this town give the word politics a bad name. They're not even politicians any longer. It's just, I'll get in and we'll take our patch of skin and leave the taxpayer exposed to higher costs, poor living, poor conditions, and God forbid if we, at this current pace, we might see increases of crime and the policemen already taxed and their resources already taxed. They probably won't be able to deal with a great bit of this. So listen up good, and if I had to do it, I would introduce Eric Ryan as, and this is a kind of a joke we toss around, and I would say, this is Weasel News. On the left is Eric Ryan, and on the right is Carol Cox, and we're fair, balanced, and unstable.
Yes.
Because this will drive you crazy.
I can't disagree with you.
So good morning. Welcome back. And for all those haters,
yes,
and who've warned me that I've lost my show, apparently I've lost my show to you because you're back now the third time.
Is that the definition of losing a show?
I was warned.
You have been warned
okay,
by people wearing Aloha shirts instead of robes, but they're just as powerful.
Yeah. So, I'm going to thank you on the behalf of the people. They don't know the relationship.
Sure.
You're still who you are and who you were when I met you.
That's right.
And I didn't give you any drugs and inoculate you with something or shoot you up to
none that I'm aware of. No.
Truth serum.
Yeah.
You don't need that.
No, I got a shot of truth serum the day I was handed my walking papers at City Hall, which is why when I come here, I can say things that you wouldn't catch me dead saying when you're working at government.
Of course. You know that government in the process of making decisions, you would be insane.
Sure.
Or just and just outright stupid to run out and say, well, he's thinking this. No one should trust you ever. But in this situation,
that's right,
this is after the fact and the behavior that has taken place. I think the golfers, just the senior citizen out there, owe you a thank you because what you've revealed to me, it's crazy.
Well, let me explain as best as I can. First of all, let me not let the moment pass where I don't say congratulations to you, first of all, for a major victory that was hard fought and long in coming with the Ethics Commission and getting that ruling. And what I think the average person needs to understand, and really are there average people, there are people who don't care about politics, there are people who care about a lot, and there are people in the middle who go, why is government cost so much and I get so little in return? And this is why. You've got all these people feeding at the trough. Now, at the state government, they got a lot of money. City Hall, it's easy to forget how much money there is there. There's almost about as fourth as much money as there is at the state level because Honolulu is such a big city.
So thank God.
Yeah, there's all this money that's available if you know the right people, if you strike the right deals, if no one's looking and you can grab it. And I remember, I think what I can do to help illustrate your story of your victory and tell it how it worked with the golf fees is when we first got to City Hall in January, one of the very first meetings that we had was with this very, very nice lady. And her name, you mentioned earlier, is Patty Teruya. And very influential. Before we got there, my then-employer, Tom Berg, Councilman Berg, knew that she was instrumental in getting Mufi elected by being a major organizer out on the West Coast, the Waianae Coast, and a major organizer subsequently for current mayor Peter Carlisle. Tom really, really wanted to hire her, and we made great efforts to try and recruit her. And in fact, she did accept the job at one point to come work for our office, but then she had to turn it down. We can talk about that later, but two of the biggest priorities for our office would amaze you. They weren't things like fixing potholes, fixing the sewers, and these sorts of things. I'm not saying that we didn't even care about them, but two of the biggest priorities go to that Leeward benefits package. When we got into office, one of the first things that happened just days before Tom got sworn in was the landfill disaster at Waimanalo Gulch. Mm-hmm. So that became an issue that we couldn't even ignore. It was right there in our face. We had to deal with that. But, of course, part and parcel with the landfill being there is the payoff to well-connected people and community groups, the Leeward Benefit Package, which is saying, okay, we're going to put this landfill here. We want to keep it there. And you, in return, the loud, vocal people that would want to make trouble about this landfill will quiet you down by giving you monies for your nonprofit groups, for your construction company, for whatever. That you know, this is taxpayer money that ordinarily you'd find hopefully used to fix your roads, your parks, your sewers, your summer fun programs, your senior golf, what have you. But this is money that gets rerouted away from normal government functions to funding well-connected people's groups through this benefits program. Now, when we first got to City Hall, one of the other people, in fact, the person that first told me about you, Carol, is a woman named Evelyn Souza, who's on the Makakilo Kapolei Neighborhood Board, and very active in civics and politics. And she told me all about you, and she pulled me aside and said, if you guys are going to City Hall, you've got to know about this audit, this major, major audit of the Leeward Benefits Program. It is riddled with corruption. I mean, page after page after page that explains how people are getting ripped off, where money is being purposely diverted from normal city functions to political payoffs. And studied it. I must have read it four or five times to the point of almost feeling like I memorized the thing. And couldn't wait to get to City Hall. I turned Tom onto this, said, Tom, we've got to do something about this. You read this, though, and you start to get to know the names of the big players. And one of those players is this very nice, friendly woman named Patty Teruya, very involved in politics and very wrapped up in the ethics victory that you just won. And I presume there are more on the table. But Patty, because we couldn't hire her, and then the next thing that Tom was worried about was we got wind that her position with the city as special events coordinator might get cut, that the new budget for the new fiscal year that we were about to approve, she might lose her job. And that became very, very, very worrisome to Tom and, of course, to Patty. And so there was a lot of talk, a lot of meetings, a lot of phone calls, a lot of emails. How can we do two things? Save Patty's job, and how can we save this Leeward benefits package, which pre-existed us for a few years as a way of paying off people to be quiet about the landfill? And there was just no money, as you know. I mean, we're in a recession. Money's tight. Things need to be cut. And that benefits package was totally on the chopping block, as was Patty's job. Mm-hmm. And that would have saved quite a chunk of change. The staff of Tom Berg, under Tom Berg's leadership, and Tom Berg himself went on overdrive to save her job, to save that package. And the place we looked to find the money to save it, we go, oh, my goodness, look at the subsidies to the city golf courses. That's like $9 million a year. What if we just started to cut back on the subsidizing of golf, raised the fees, there, voila, is the money that we need to save it. And that's exactly what we did. So working closely with Ernie Martin's office, he was head of the budget committee at the time, working closely with Patty because she knew the behind-the-scenes machinations of how to lobby and talk to the right people. We were able to work for an increase in the golf fees for people playing at city golf courses, especially on the backs of seniors, making it more expensive for them, and diverting that money over to saving Patty and saving the Leeward Benefits Program.
And the Leeward Benefits Program that was mismanaged by Ernie Martin, and the audit spelled that out, and Ernie gets voted or promoted to city councilman.
Right.
Now he's the chairman, and he's holding big fundraisers, folks, and everybody except Mother Teresa and Jesus was there. Everybody in the Democratic Party was there licking his hands and putting money. And when I say everybody, everybody.
Right.
All your top politicians on the Democratic side was there. So this guy knows how to steal, and he knows how to insulate himself because they are getting some of the gravy. They, a lot of the Democrats.
Yeah.
And they're, folks, if you think you're not, you better brace yourself for what's to come with this this party of liberals who sit there and sucking you dry. I mean, it's frightening. There's no punishment for Martin. Jamila says that he was authorized by Martin to do this, and it was okay. And and I have the audio. As I say, go to carolcox.com.
Right.
You'll hear the entire thing. Ernie Martin says he didn't authorize that. Mufi Hanneman says he didn't authorize that. But if you listen to Jamila, it is contrary. And Jamila also say that he had Chuck Tato.
Right.
These are his words.
Sure.
Yet not a single punishment Tom Byrd could have said, if we have $2 million here, let's go and look at the audit and let's go and call these people on the carpet and make them accountable and make them reimburse.
Right.
Or at a minimum.
Right.
Make them show us what went wrong
and
ensure that it's been fixed and it wouldn't repeat itself.
Well, let me, if I may, share some extremely bad news with you and your listeners about that. An audit gets done.
Mm-hmm.
We've got really thoughtful, independent people in the city auditor's office doing everything they can to dig up what they can to find out what's wrong, because they're trying to help us figure out how to fix things. And it doesn't matter if it's a corrupt thing or an incompetent thing or a wasteful thing, just how to fix it.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got these thoughtful people who put these audits together. And all they can do is hope that the audit sees the light of day, that some council member, some committee chair is going to have a hearing or series of hearings to get to the bottom of it. Think of back in the 80s, what was it, the Iran-Contra hearings.
Mm-hmm.
You know, things like that where you really try and dig in and find out what happened. So here's the bad news. Is Tom Byrd gets sworn in, we're all working at City Hall. One of the first things we try and do is we want to have hearings on that Leeward benefits package, the audit. We wanted to have hearings. In fact, it was Evelyn Souza, who still works in Tom Byrd's office, who told me about this audit, as I said earlier. She said that it maybe only covered 60% of what was really wrong. There's much more there. But even the 60% that's covered in that audit is plenty to tell you about what's wrong with government, what needs fixing. Well, anyway, first thing we do is we contact then-Council Chairman Nestor Garcia's office and say, we'd like to do hearings about this out in our district, probably at Kapolei Hale, the second city hall out there in Kapolei, or maybe up and down the Waianae Coast. And we're immediately told, no, you can't, because there are financial implications with talking about the audit. That's really the purview of the Budget Committee. Well, who's in charge of the Budget Committee? Ernie Martin, the same guy who was in charge of the Department of Community Services, which is where the problems
happened. Well, the problem and the ripping off of the taxpayer occurred under his watch.
That's all we wanted were hearings. So then, okay, so we got a roadblock with Nestor Garcia not wanting to just let us do it. So now we've been told we got to go to Ernie Martin. So we go to Ernie Martin, and I talk to those people, and nice people, and say, we'd really, really, really like to do something about this audit. Can you help us somehow to get some hearings going? So we were told, okay, tell you what, at City Hall, every year, there's a thing called budget season. It lasts from about March to about June until the new budget's adopted for July 1st. So we're getting into budget season. They promise us we'll do a budget committee meeting, a real city meeting with all the members of the city council there and the staff and out at Kapolei Hale. And in addition to having a public testimony on the budget, we'll make the second agenda item this audit, and we'll really get into it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's now August. That meeting never happened. That hearing never happened. It just went nowhere. And we went in the course of just a few months from being the folks at City Hall who were most likely to shine light on what happened in that community services department and all that corruption that the audit brought out, mm-hmm. and which you're having to chase after as an individual through the Ethics Commission. We were the ones that went to City Hall supposedly to expose this stuff, clean it up, what have you. And in the course of just a few months, we became the people who were least likely to shine a light on this corruption, because our priorities no longer were to clean up City Hall. Our priorities became, how can we just divert enough money to help our friend Patty, who we helped would help us in the re-election.
Because she's helped Mufi Hanneman successfully
and
get
Peter
in.
Carlisle,
and Peter
too.
Carlisle,
right.
And Todd Uphol. She was able to compete with him very strongly.
Right.
So Tom Berg felt that she's the go-to.
Absolutely. Mufi operates from ambition. Peter Carlisle, similarly, ambition. Most politicians operate from feeling ambitious, and so it infects what they do. Tom Berg, I know for a fact, having worked with him for a few campaigns now, operates from fear. And his fear is that he'll never be able to put his own campaign organization together, raise his own money like most politicians do. And he's going to have to cut deals, get people on his staff, get people somehow
similar to this
tied
deal.
To him. Just like this, exactly like this. And so by saving Patty Trui's job, by saving the Leeward Benefits Program, which again is just a diversion of money that would have gone to, say, the Parks Department anyway, or to fixing roads or whatever, into a special program that a politician can now take credit for and say, hey, look what I delivered. But all it is like opening someone's Christmas present and repackaging it and putting your name on it and mm-hmm. saying, hey, guess what? It's now from me. And so I tell you this, if Carol Cox, people like you, don't get this audit and all the corruption in it heard and acted on, there is no one left at City Hall, not even Tom Berg, to do anything about that corruption. It will never see the light of day. They will continue to play shell games with your money and make your cost of living more expensive, your taxes higher, and less in return for your money, more potholes, more parks that are just derelict. Because what's more important is that they pay their friends. Mm-hmm. Their friends get contracts. Their friends get grants. Mm-hmm. Their friends get jobs, like Kurt Favela, who doesn't even show up for
right.
his job.
Right.
And now he's the chairman of the Eva Neighborhood Board.
Again?
Which is, yeah, he just got reelected. It was a close vote, but he is this guy who it's now documented, and here's the pot calling the kettle black, perhaps, but it's been documented that he may have stolen money from people that, elderly man there, and stolen from his family's trust, taken his house, what have you. Put that aside. Let's go for the documented fact that he didn't show up to work. What was it, 45 days?
45 days.
So he's paid by you. Mm-hmm. You, the Joe taxpayer and Jane taxpayer, through the city, to be a garbage inspector. And he's supposed to be going to work every day like the rest of us,
Mm-hmm.
And instead, he's not showing up to work for 45 of the days he's supposed to be there. But magically, this guy will show up when you need some, husky-looking sign waiver mm-hmm. at an important, council hearing to say, we want higher taxes to pay for this, mm-hmm. or we want special deals for that. Or you'll have him at some kind of a rally, opposing, anti-rail thing, or he'll show up and he'll find all this time to be the chair of the Eva Neighborhood Board. Well, where do you get the motivation when you wake up in the morning if you're someone like these people? Mm-hmm. Well, they give you money.
So Carlisle relies on him. Hanneman relies on him.
That's right.
But then when you complain to Hanneman
yeah.
or to Carlisle
right.
or to the city council,
right.
they don't even respond to you. I was told by Carlisle's administration, we're working on this Patty to get her out.
Yeah.
Right? But we can't say what.
Yes.
And she's stronger than ever and continuing on her path of... I would say I'll hold off on the description and share the greater facts that
right.
we have here.
Right.
But let me just read. This is one email from Berg to Ruyu and to the staff.
Sure.
And I thank you from this was on May 19th. Just to share with you that golf course tie and why the senior citizens were impacted, not knowing it, and our city council let it happen under their watch.
Yeah.
They don't care.
No.
But they'll go and glad hand the senior citizens and others who depended on unlimited income to enjoy golf or whatever.
Sure.
Here's just one paragraph. The third and final FD1 will be a, quote, two-step journey, end quote, as I called it, because I need to amend two bills to make it work. This entails removing Bill 13, CD2, via FD1, the monies in total that subsidize the golf courses, and the placing the amount transferring the sum into debt service. As you may recall, Council Member Harimoto was very concerned at the lack of monies to be attributed to that endeavor, and by amending Bill 17 with my proposal to raise all rates across the board by $20 per round, we could end the subsidy for golf.
Yeah.
Have golf be self-sustaining and add millions to attack the debt service. But that was all a bald-faced lie when, in fact, it was to line the pockets of the Teruyas and the nonprofits who he felt would support him in his reelection. That's what, and you have documents to show where his day in, and we're going to talk about that in the next hour.
Sure.
Where his first day in office, his order is, you know.
Get me reelected.
Get me reelected. And
that's what we're doing here.
But we'll talk about that. But again, nothing in his actions, and this is what caught my attention and why I want to share this with the people out there that golf, and they're just a normal taxpayer. This decision got all of the attention, and they put in place this high rate for golf.
Right.
Had nothing to do with the golf not supporting itself or the program not supporting itself. Absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
But that's what he represented.
Yeah, you know, speaking of the political spectrum, you've got say liberal Democrats on one side, conservative Republicans on the other. And it would have been a classic sort of conservative Republican argument to say, let's make this government run golf thing self-sustaining.
Right.
That passes the sniff test.
Mm-hmm.
But only if the money then goes back to the taxpayers, the ones who've been paying through higher property taxes for that subsidy.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what happened. The money didn't go back to the taxpayers. It just got diverted to this other pet project. And the pet projects were, as I mentioned, two things. One is to keep the money flowing to that levered benefits program. And the other is to save Patty's job. Now, I you know, she's a very nice lady, but very well connected politically and got a thick skin. So she's listening. She knows, not attacking her, but I'm just telling the truth. And
now,
the truth is all that time was spent trying to save her job.
Okay. Now, a disclaimer here. Those are the words of Eric Ryan. She's a nice person.
Well,
the Carol Cox show says that there's, the jury is still out,
right.
and not only is it out,
the
investigators are continuing to produce things that speak contrary
to that. Well, if you're able to clarify, then I'm able to as well, too. The reason given for why she ended up taking the job in office but then turning it down was very explicit from her. She said there are still many pending ethics investigations going on.
Right.
And
against her.
In
her organization.
Right. And her lawyer advised her that by leaving her position with the city administration and coming to work for us for the city council, she's still working for the city, and so those charges aren't going to disappear.
Right.
If you leave government altogether, a lot of that stuff will vanish.
Mm-hmm.
But you just move your office from one door down to the next, which, and that's how close the office is, you're still subject to those investigations. And so she was this close to working for us. I already had the paperwork ready to go, salary agreed to, handshake on the deal, but then a day or two later unraveled.
Yeah.
And the more I get to know these ethics things, the more troubled I am, certainly. So I don't want to oversell, the nice person thing.
Okay, all right.
Because I'm a taxpayer, too.
Because I you know, but what I was going to share and why I say the jury is still out and the investigator seems to keep bringing in more information.
Right.
One of the things that I was able to recover here recently, and again, I feel like I need to sound the trumpets or a bell and say, listen up, people. This is what we have working for us. This is what Carlyle, this is what Ernie Martin, this is what Tom Berg, Ann Kobayashi, Nestor Garcia, all of them are willing to keep the people that are doing the dirt and ripping us off, and then they smile and says, well, are you running for mayor next month, Mr. Kobayashi? Well, I'm considering. What about you, Nestor? I'm, you know, jury's out, and I might. But let me share with you, this is the kind of person that they are keeping around, and this is recent now. Patty Turuya is or was part of the Waimanalo Construction Coalition. That is the same organization that Andrew Jamila got his fingers wrapped, not even a finger wrapping, $650. You give me $120,000, and I'll sit there and vote on the landfill issues, and you find me $650. What a deal, right? And he still gets to sit on the board. Let's see what Carlyle does if Carlyle removes him. But here's a, or if I don't know the legal ability of Carlyle or what the process is to remove him or ask him to step down. But the Waimanalo Construction Coalition received these grants, and he acknowledged $120,000, and this is the report that he reported and the Ethics Commission reported.
Right.
Now, Patty Turuya had to step down from her officership in that organization in the recent past because of the, quote, ethics complaints. And she even mentioned to Tom Berg, I'm not a part of that, and da-da-da-da. But here's what happened, and listeners. Patty Turuya and Andrew Jamila, this organization still exists. Patty Turuya, on this letter, December 23rd, 2010, after running for her life, and trying to find a hole to hide in and look for a friend to protect her, such as Carlyle, because everywhere he goes, you see her, except for China. I didn't see her in the pictures in China, but you never know. But here's what they did, folks. Patty steps down, and Patty Turuya goes and inserts a city employee without the city employee's knowledge. Submitted that employee's name, and here's what Patty Turuya said in this document. Andrew Jamila supposedly signed it, but he's now saying Patty did it. But this was submitted to the DCCA. We need these changes. We want to remove Patty Turuya from the position of VP Secretary. And this goes in as of 1-4-2011 per Andrew Jamila. Please make changes. But then they insert this party's name, and I'm not going to mention her name because I just think that it's an insult to all of us that Patty Turuya would still be able to walk inside of government while doing this and still repeating this and nobody's holding her accountable. She places and changes. The order was to change the names to the officers and then put this person's name in without this person's knowledge. And I have the letter that this person wrote to Patty Turuya saying, and to Jamila, I never wanted to be a part of your organization. I never authorized you, but you put me down. They also wanted her to sign checks.
Interesting.
I will post this this letter up, folks, that how do you, talking about identity theft, how would you like to be placed on a list as an officer in an organization that you have no knowledge of? Is that identity theft? Is that fraud? Are you asking them to sign a check and you don't tell them, oh, by the way, I want you to sign a check, but will you also become a member.
Right.
Well, or we've put you down as a member, or an officer in the organization. Now it's your obligation to sign these checks. Good morning, caller. You got a comment, question?
Yeah, good morning. I'm just calling in to, you know, I just listened to that. When you bring up Patty, you know, Patty and Jamila used to be boyfriend and girlfriend. Uh-huh. And, you know, she, you know, every time you'd run into to Patty, you know, she'd been there for 17 years. She was the right hand of whoever, where she worked with the city and county, mm-hmm. and she could do anything. That was always her attitude. So, you know, they, you know, to listen to you talk about that, about contracts and getting special contracts and this stuff that's coming up, you know that she's part of all that.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you know, they both were boyfriend and girlfriend. Yeah. I know that for a fact.
Well,
and I just think it's just crazy, you know. That's how it works inside.
Well, let's see if we can clean up the inside. Send a letter to Carlisle and the let's ask FBI to let's file a formal complaint. Somebody out there, we need the golfers, all of you, if you really care, unless you figure out it's you're at the 19th Puka and who cares, but
yeah.
You know. But anyway, thank you.
You're welcome.
All
have
right.
A nice day.
Now, some might describe this as throwing stones. No, I'm throwing bricks.
Yeah.
Because this is, you know, and I want to share something with the public also. It's related but unrelated. Now, it takes a lot to observe, to look at something, and then make an assessment that something's wrong. And then it takes a lot to not only look, see it, and think it, but then to sit down and put it in words and take the risk of filing a formal complaint,
right.
All which I did.
Yeah.
It was my ability to see this and formulate a complaint, and I file a complaint.
Right.
And here's a sad part about this. The Honolulu Star Advertiser wrote an article. It's as the way they wrote the article, and I'm not speaking that I need credit, because the last thing I need is this Honolulu Star Advertiser acknowledging me before I'm validated or whatever. But it speaks. I want to speak to how news is done here, how the news can write you out by not writing you in.
Yeah.
They wrote a quarter-page article on it.
Right.
It was presented as if the advertiser, the Star Advertiser, sits there, and they got their hands on everything, and they watching everything. And the Ethics Commission sitting on its throne goes, okay, we found this and whatever.
Right.
They actually excluded, didn't mention the source of the complaint, refused to. And here's why this is important. If they would have said this complaint came on the heels of a result of Carol Cox, that's all they need. Then there was a risk of them, the reader, going, well, maybe I need to see more.
Yeah.
And go and look. And then they would have found this entire story that blossoms in front of you. It would talk specifically about Ernie Martin.
Yeah.
It will talk about Patty Teruya. It will talk about Mufi Hanneman and the audit and all of those things. But what they did, they couched it and placed it here as if they are observant.
Yeah.
They see it, and only they see it, and then, you know. So is that journalism? Is it yellow journalism? What is it? Or is it just they care to exclude me? Why? Because they don't want the truth to be told. They're afraid attached to my name will be some truth. I'm really concerned about that. And
my take, if I may, is that there's a very small clique of people in this town, and I'm born and raised here, the very small clique of people who run the government, like the rotating cast of characters in politics, very small clique of them, and very small clique of people in the news media.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same handful of people for decade after decade. And sure, they have occasional new, fresh faces in journalism, but most of them want what people like recently retired reporter Daryl Huff wants.
Mm-hmm.
They want to parlay face recognition and name ID with the public into a higher paying, like, PR job in the private sector or something. But basically, you've got a handful of media people and political people who are very, very chummy. They go to the same parties. They're all on a first-name basis.
Mm-hmm.
When the cameras are off, it's, you know, attaboy, chuckle, you know, tell each other jokes, and they're very friendly. And you don't really see a lot of investigative reporting in Hawaii, partly for that reason. Mm-hmm. They don't want to turn on each other. They need each other. You don't really see the media ganging up on major politicians here. Mm-hmm. You don't see them ganging up this corruption. You're more likely, a year from now, you just got your victory in the Ethics Commission. A year from now, you're more likely to see your local news media do a story called "Whatever Happened to Hawaii's American Idol contestant Jasmine Trias?" Mm-hmm. than "Whatever Happened with Peter Carlisle's decision whether or not to ask Andrew Jamila to step down after the corruption was exposed and
well, a
guilty verdict."
How much time did they get in jail?
No kidding.
Yeah, did they get prosecuted?
Yeah.
Oh, no, but instead, so I want people to hear clearly that some said, well, you know, be careful, they may not write an article. Well, the point is that by not writing and crediting the source, if you are a bona fide journalistic company or journalism or whatever you're practicing, you cannot sit there and write an article as if it popped out of the universe and you're just that great party.
Absolutely.
You can't make that representation.
We'll take another example. For instance, I remember when I was a campaign manager for Stop Rail Now, mm-hmm. I'm being interviewed by this guy from the newspaper, really aggressive reporter, really shining a negative light on Stop Rail Now. Next thing I know, this reporter is now the press spokesman for Dan Inouye.
Yeah.
And there are other stories. You've got like the
John Yoshimori, the guy that was drunk, and he ended up working for Daniel Akaka.
There you go.
Hey, we're all friends in this. I'm surprised I haven't seen Rodney King over there at the City Hall wearing a gun and a badge. I'm serious. Because can't we all just get along?
He's qualified.
Forget the taxpayer. Let's just get along, you know? And that's what we have here. And I want people to understand.
Yeah.
That's what I saw the opportunity when I first heard of your issues with Pine and Berg.
Yeah.
Because they don't throw you out
on
your nose unless you know something. If you're willing to go along and know the two-step Johnny and whistle to that tune, they'll keep you around.
Yeah.
You see, you know too much, you're too smart for them, and you don't fit anyway. And others may have their own opinion of you. I'm speaking specifically to what we have here. This is crazy.
It's crazy, and it's why everything costs so much.
Yeah.
These people are getting rich on your back.
On our backs.
Yeah.
And we're walking around. I pity the average person who – I just take the golfers, for example.
Right.
I know a lot of senior golfers, and I, too, enjoyed going out there on occasion and walking around and digging holes looking for beavers, you know, because I can't play with the darn.
No.
But I enjoyed it, and the cost afforded me that opportunity to be out there. Imagine what it has done to a great many of the golfers and the disruption.
Oh, sure.
They have come to expect that. That wasn't handouts.
Yeah.
They were funding it themselves.
Yeah.
And look what happened.
Well, everything, it's important to remember this, whether you're liberal or conservative, the moment that government gets into anything, it's subsidized. The second the government says, we're going to get into the business of that, whether it's building roads, schools, sewers, highways, golf courses, auditoriums, it doesn't matter. The moment they're in there, it's a subsidy because it's not like the private sector where they care about the bottom line. We need to make a profit in order to have this thing pay for itself. So to single out golfers and say that's the one place we have to end the subsidy when everything is subsidized in government and all you're doing is shifting the money over to your friends and to some program that you can get political credit for. Let me tell you a shocking quick story here. Tom Berg wanted to go on a victory tour after securing the money. Really, it was Ernie Martin that secured the money to continue the Leeward Benefits Program. He was the budget chair. Tom Berg wanted to go on a victory lap as he headed into the council's final vote on the budget, which would include this Leeward Benefits Program and Patty's job. So he went to all the neighborhood boards in his district, went to the Waianae Neighborhood Board, went to the Nautakula Neighborhood. He shows up at the Kapolei Neighborhood Board, and he wanted them to suddenly that night add something big to their agenda, which was endorsing his push for the money for this Leeward Benefits Program. The neighborhood board chair and the members voted not to put it on the agenda. They thought it was much too big and would violate Sunshine Law to suddenly put it on the agenda that night. Well, Tom was miffed. He was beside himself. And he told them he was going to go back to City Hall the very next day and say, well, guess what? I'm going to make sure that we include the boards that supported me. Neighborhood board for Nanakuli, Waianae, but Kapolei, you're going to get nothing. You're going to get nothing because you didn't support putting on the agenda and support me trying to get that money and give me credit for getting it for you. So all about credit, and he actually told them that.
Mm-hmm.
It's on the video.
Caller, you have a question or a comment real quick.
Hi, brother. Good morning, good morning. It's very interesting again. What's going on seems to be they got their own little cartel going.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but they get their lessons from Congress. Congress is doing the same thing. Corporations are. They go in and get the monies together, basically, and you just do their bidding.
Okay.
No different.
All right.
It doesn't matter who's in the actual office.
Okay,
you answer to the corporations.
What do we do? I hate to hear how bad it is.
We got to stand. Like you said, we got to stand, basically.
Yeah. Why don't you get this? This is Filippo. Give me a call back in the next hour. We're going to
down
here. But join in. Make sure you call back now. If you don't call I'm going to call Congress on you.
All right.
Okay. All right. Well, sorry about that. Going to try and get some of these glitches out. But we're going to be talking racism. We're going to be talking about abuse of authority in City Hall and use of workers and how monies, taxpayers' dollars, are focused on re-election rather than. We're going to talk about a lot of things. And it was getting a slow start because there's so much. So anyway, Filippo and others, 524-1080, and you can pick up this broadcast at carol@carolcox.com. 524-1080 in the next hour. Please join us.
just can't stop, cause I'm not in dizzy. Ooh, you got me dizzy. Yeah, you got me dizzy. I can't even see my way.
Right. Welcome back to the Carol Cox Show, the second half. Again, my guest here is Eric Ryan, as or some would say, the guy who took over the Carol Cox Show. So, you know, so I guess it's three times a charm.
Well, I think they call me worse things than that, but
I'll call you my old charm. But and I'm sure they're probably going, you better see, he's setting him up for the kill.
Yeah.
He'll feel good when this one is gonna feel is finding so funny when Eric sticks the knife in his back.
Yeah, exactly. Well, as anybody who's been following any of these stories knows, I'm supposed to always be looking over one shoulder or the other for the police or the FBI are supposed to be coming for me any minute. And it's been months now, and no one even wants to interview me about all these supposed crimes I've committed. But
well, you know, in this town, I don't want to suggest that the FBI would lend itself to that, but I have in fact had the DLNR Gary Moniz to lie to the Attorney General and say that I broke in his office while trying to investigate and stole documents. And to, well, that's okay. People can tell lies.
Right.
Here's what's really crazy about
Please.
It: the Attorney General subpoenaed me and had me to come in and ask me, gonna investigate me for breaking in. I'm not smart enough to even open my own house front door with my keys.
Yeah.
Breaking in. And then what if you've seen their office, you couldn't – they can't even find documents.
That's one more illustration of the difference between the public sector and the private sector.
Right.
In the private sector, you've got to actually do something productive to earn your keep or they lay you off. In this case, those people who harass you get paid every 2 weeks no matter what.
Yeah.
They don't have to accomplish anything.
And then after stressing you out,
yes.
they get to go on vacation.
Well,
hey,
they deserve it, you know, after stressing me out. I probably gave them some grief, too.
Yeah. But again, along that line, in that vein, this is the Ethics Commission, and it's posted on carolcox.com, the entire advisory opinion, 2011-3, and obviously today is the 13th of the... You know, and of August.
Yes, 14th today.
14th,
yeah.
I'm sorry, 14th August 2011. But Mr. Jamila, this is what the Ethics Commission said, and it's this is why I don't trust government. I don't trust the enforcement in this so-called ethics. I think they have no ethics. Because here is Mr. Jamila demonstrated good faith by consulting the Department of Community Service and the mayor if there was a conflict of interest. The problem is... they're saying they didn't tell him to do this. So why even bother to mention that he consulted the – he went ahead and did what he wanted to do.
Absolutely.
Not only that, unfortunately – here's another one. Mr. Jamila did disclose his conflict at the time on January 3rd, 2008.
Right.
In response to a receipt of disclosure, Ethics Commission's staff clearly advised Jamila that he did have a conflict of interest and that he had to recuse himself from participating in all matters related to the landfill. Unfortunately, Mr. Jamila failed to do so. Now, this is the Ethics Commission.
Right.
So instead of saying, you can find Mr. Jamila, now his address is at the federal penitentiary.
Yes.
Because he stole from us.
Right.
No. Mr. Jamila,
yeah.
he cooperated. During a recent interview, Mr. Jamila told Ethics Commission staff that he did not read the entirety of the staff email where staff instructed him to recuse right. himself. Wow. So if he can't read an email,
yes.
what is he reading to make decisions to sit there and be made an informed opinion on his vote?
You're not supposed to notice that.
Yeah.
yeah,
but this is the Ethics Commission. I'm
right.
thinking, well, you know, are
right.
they schizophrenic? Are they on one hand, they're going to sing him lullabies, and on
right.
the other, kick him and say, well, we're going to punish you substantially,
right.
and it's $500, and then you pay another $150 for whatever. It's an absolute insult.
Well, Carol, let's be brutally honest about what you're saying there. we spent the last hour talking about things related to this, but we never used the words white-collar crime. Right. We are talking about institutionalized white-collar crime. Now, everyone knows if you go out there and, say, rob a bank or deal drugs or do something like that, there are clear laws that require pretty clear punishments. You know, judges and juries have some discretion, but basically if you do these kind of crimes, there's a pretty good chance you'll go to jail. Mm-hmm. You do these white-collar crimes at City Hall, you do these white-collar crimes at the state capitol, you do them in Washington, D.C., and there's a pretty high likelihood that absolutely nothing will happen to you. Mm-hmm. You get an ethics commission, which has finally come back a year later with a good decision on this, but these are people who meet in secret, mm-hmm. who serve at the pleasure of the mayor and the city council. Mm-hmm. These are people who, I mean, you wonder who gets named to all these boards and commissions. This is that small clique I was talking about, right. of chummy people that all get along, who once in a while, because somebody screws up as badly as Mr. Jamila and it makes the newspaper or something or catches your eye, all of a sudden they're forced to dispense some justice.
Right.
And in dispensing it, $650.
And
not jail. But
Teruya is part of that, and she's, when you see Carlisle, you see she's standing over his shoulder looking down.
Yeah.
I often wonder, you know, who's controlling who.
Yeah.
But again, we talk about how many people of Hawaiian ancestry
right.
Crowds the jail
yeah.
and all of that. And some of them get caught for a nickel bag or a paraphernalia.
Yes.
And the jail is bulging. You got this little liberal guy who runs around going to save the world and bring them all back home and going to open up a new prison. He's not saying, why don't we start looking at government, the people that, so this kid get caught with his pants hanging down and his underwear showing and a pipe in his hand, and he gets sent off to Arizona for 6 years.
Yes.
You know, destroying a whole family. But you can steal $120,000 and as part of a broken system yeah. that the audit showed that these lots can't even account for it. Big problem. Caller, you have a comment, a question right quick?
Yes, sir, Mr. Cox. Thanks for taking my call. And I just want to apologize for breaking the rhythm of the dialogue that you and Mr. Ryan are having.
Well, go ahead and break the rhythm.
To both of y'all, why is it that maybe you can edify your listening public, and including me, why do we keep voting these same crooks into office? Is it a combination of the plantation mentality we have here, along with the fact that these politicians have in their pockets a large number of city and state workers, their immediate and extended families, and then that along with maybe the newer immigrants who can't or are culturally unwilling to vote? And if you could just briefly just, you know, let me know, I'd appreciate it. Because I don't understand it. Thank you.
I think I have a good answer to that. First of all, this is why I put this, quote, show together.
Yes.
The problem is that's been an age-old problem.
Yeah.
The bigger problem here in this culture, or whether you're in Mississippi or wherever,
right.
we've learned we can't fight City Hall. Remember that?
Right.
So we all know the problems. We all know the corruption.
Yeah.
But nobody dare talk about it. Our newspapers, as you've pointed out, we're not just sitting here stroking the cat backwards.
Yeah.
To aggravate someone, I'm saying that when the newspapers purposely pencil you out, the person who right. orchestrates this and have the foresight and the ability to see it
yes.
and put it together and then go, well, we don't want to include his name in there because it might lead to a bigger explanation of yeah. the corruption. They're part of it. Folks, this has nothing to do with how it goes in Congress and what yeah. we need to do.
Right.
What we need to do is start holding, not that fourth part of government, don't buy their papers. Don't watch the newscast. If they're going to, the next week you see them, they're one wrinkle away from going working as a public relations person,
yeah.
you know, because they want young and youthful people. Andrew Jamila, for example, had a situation, and again, this is on the interview,
yeah.
where I contact KITV a year ago.
Yes.
They set up an interview with me.
Yeah.
10 minutes later on this matter, Andrew Jamila called me back, we're not going to do anything. Then I talked to Jamila, and he says, well, I heard you were out to get my head. Well, what do you mean getting your head? I'm just looking for truth here. What did you hear? Well, KITV told me that you were out to get my head, but they canceled the interview. Well, I go to KITV and ask them, and it was like, who are you to ask us questions? So,
yeah.
okay, end of subject, end of discussion.
Yeah.
But It has nothing to do with what's going on in Congress. It has what it has to do with, folks, you don't get the full story. That's what's happening. And I'm trying in my best way I can to contribute to informing you. The scary part about this is I just keep hearing, what do we need? And we know what's broken.
Yes.
We know the spokes and the wheel is loose.
Oh, sure.
Somebody needs to tighten them down. But yeah. I bring the information to you, and I think Ms. Kobayashi is right now. There's two teams juggling to see who's going to manage her to become mayor. And you know, it's like, wait now. She went and voted for Snitch of Steel. She was behind that and pushing it with Reen Muncho, and yet giving them a break while we raise great issues. And I had great respect for her, but, you know, I don't rest on one issue relationship.
Right.
But I have to call into question, if you're willing to go to that extent, it's time for you to get your bags and leave, like Tom Berg needs to leave, like Nestor Garcia needs to leave, like Oppo caught on and got the Disney magic and left, you know. I guess all we have now is Twinkle Toes and and who else. But but anyway, call. I apologize for not getting able to pick up on you there. But call back. You're welcome to call in. But, Eric, let's...
Well, she asked the $124,000 question. Of course, adjusted for inflation, that's the billion-dollar question now, all borrowed from China. The question about why we keep electing the same people. Now, the news a couple days ago was a nationwide survey showed Hawaii is the most heavily one-sided political state, and it happens to be Democrat. What I would suggest to help answer the caller's question is, why do we keep voting the same people in? Forget for a minute your personal convictions of being liberal, conservative, moderate, if you feel Republican, Democrat. The point is, in Hawaii, there's one political party that has all the power, all the power. Most people make really well-informed choices every day when it comes to how they spend their money. You know, today, are we going to eat at this restaurant? No, I like this other restaurant better. I like this brand of tires better. You know, they make these choices. You don't have political choices in Hawaii. I'm born and raised here. I know this. We do not have political choices. If you did, right now, in addition to what you always hear from the majority party, which are constant commercials saying everything's fine, constant statistics and spin that says everything's fine, you can trust us, we help people, we care about the Aina and the Keiki and doing what's Pono, and you know, they say all the right buzzwords. What's really missing, and which answers the caller's questions for me, is you don't hear the opposition. You don't hear any opposition. You don't hear any rationale regularly being given of what's wrong. Certainly the media sucks in Hawaii. Let's just be honest. It sucks. But don't you think down at the Republican Party headquarters or some major opposition party headquarters, they have it so together. I mean, they got all the arguments on their side.
Right.
All the statistics have been heading in the wrong direction for decades, and they're even worse now. The politicians, there's so much corruption out there, we can't even keep track of it all. But they don't ever get it together. And I can go on for years about how terrible the Republican Party in Hawaii is. But put your own politics aside. If you don't like the way things are going in Hawaii, you're not being given any real choice to vote for anyone else. It's a serious choice because the case isn't being made for why you should do that. And that, I think, therein lies the answer.
You mean the GOP is not stating and giving the public any...
Absolutely not. In fact, they're going to be silent for the next 18 months. They are completely out of money, and they've made a calculated decision to, instead of trying to get their act together, they laid off all their staff, turned off the AC, they turned the lights off, and they're not going to do any investment in any advertising for the next year. So you'll never hear any other point of view.
Call a real quick comment or question. Hello? Comment or question real quick. Hello? Hello?
No people. I mean, we should have had something better,
yeah?
I had better, good ideas of this Berg because he was asking, for a while, asking the right questions. But he got answers.
Okay, you there? anyway, call us when you call in. Just be patient. We're not going to just jump and stop in the middle of a word. Allow us to pronounce the word or something. And we're eager to hear from you as you are to talk. But sure. One of the things, just to demonstrate, Berg made the comments about the skinheads, for example.
Sure.
And instead of coming out and speaking up against it, they go, well, you know, everybody's entitled to the opinion somewhat, and then they have a bad day.
Right.
Well, speaking of a bad day, let's hop into this thing about the racism and the overtones. Lay it out. Rush Limbaugh made comments against China, correct?
Yeah. Short story. People who listen to the very popular Rush Limbaugh show one day were hearing him listen to, I guess, Fox News, and they were supposedly going to be broadcasting some very important remarks from Hu Jintao, the Chinese premier. Well, for whatever reason, normally when you hear someone speak in a foreign language on the news, they have the translator at the ready, you know, translating, so you're only hearing it in English. Well, all anybody could hear, because there was no translation, was him speaking a thick, you know, Chinese accent, of course, because he's Chinese, and he's speaking Chinese language, and so no one understood it. Rush Limbaugh just starts to make fun of what he's hearing, killing time, trying to wait for the translator to come in. Well, anyway, a number of people found that very offensive, and nationwide there were organized political operations trying to exploit this faux pas by Mr. Limbaugh and say, racism, racism. And so what happened locally at the Honolulu City Council back in January, February, is newly elected City Councilman Stanley Chang, a young Chinese-American fresh out of college and law school, who ran for City Council after like a two-year-long door-to-door campaign, introduced on behalf of himself and the Chinese community in Hawaii and other minority groups this strongly worded anti-Rush Limbaugh resolution, calling on him to apologize and calling on broadcasters that support Rush Limbaugh to pull the plug or whatever. Anyway, so they're pushing really hard for this resolution. Well, clearly, you've got this brand-new Tea Party Republican, Tom Berg, coming into City Hall. You think, naturally, he's going to have some problem with that. At the committee level, he didn't vote against it. But when it came time for the full council, we had received so many phone calls and emails and meetings with people saying, you know, I can't believe you'd let this horrible resolution attacking Rush Limbaugh pass. Well, we heard both sides. Behind the scenes, that's when I really got to know the Tom Berg that I now know, from in meetings with our staff, which wasn't fully formed at the time. We only had three staffers. Emails, phone calls, meetings, emails, phone calls. It became very clear that Tom was not like those of us who are melting pot oriented. He had some really strong feelings about minorities. I think it's probably more against guys. And it was just horrible. I can still remember the looks on the faces of our executive assistant, Gemma Espression. I can still see the looks on the face even of Philmont Lee, who's himself is Chinese. Behind closed doors, Tom kept using, this is City Councilman Tom Berg, kept describing Stanley Chang as chinky poo. And the looks on our faces, I mean, he must have seen how insulted and offended we were, because we were behind closed doors. You can let your hair down, having a frank discussion about what should we do about this resolution. He was all worked up about, I can't believe Cachola and that chinky poo are trying to push this bill. Chinky poo, chinky poo. He kept saying it. And in looking through my emails recently, I found that he even wrote it. Expressions like ching chong, chang chong, ching chong.
Making
the very
fun
things
of
the Chinese language, yeah.
Chinese language or dialects or Mandarin.
Now, I was hoping he was just maybe, Tom is just, you know, hung over or mad or something. But this continued like day after day after day after meetings and emails and phone calls. And I thought, man, this guy's got a real problem here. And, you know, and I have to tell you, speaking as his campaign manager and then as his chief of staff, although my personal feelings of being bothered by this were there, I was also very much thinking about politically, oh, my God, I can't let this guy be heard outside this room saying this stuff, because, you know, that's just poison politically. But, you know, if you put right and wrong aside. And you know, so his secretary was trying to tell him he shouldn't be saying this. I was saying that. Our legislative
drafter, Philemon Lee, was telling him, you can't talk of this, but he kept doing it. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, when he describes Hawaiian males as skinheads and, you know, compares them to Planet of the Apes and other references like this, I'm thinking, you know, this guy who moves here from Chicago, I mean, I love people from the mainland, but this guy was not ready for the melting pot.
Caller, you have a comment or question real quick?
Is he still talking about Limbaugh? About
what's your comment or question? What's your comment or question? Just go ahead.
The comment or question is, check the people that the rail, the guy Roth, has expressed the opinion that the government has no case, and they're going to really push forward in the second opinion, comment.
Okay, you broke up there.
You're saying something about not having a case. I didn't catch that.
Sorry, caller, you faded out and disappeared there. But again, with this, so he refers to them as skinheads. So Dylan Onaka, one of the GOP people, explains that away, pragmatic, you know.
Right.
Let's take the high road.
Right.
But it didn't free the public. And this speaks to why we don't have anybody on the other side of the aisle growing in numbers, because when they have an opportunity to show that they represent people and will tell the truth, no, they tuck tail and cover and become, you know, take the high road. Here is a man referring to, like the N-word for me, and referring to Chinese people or Mr. Chan, Stanley Chang in that term, and that is a horrendous term to be using against, you know. So, again, below the Planet of the Apes, you also had an email from Mr. Sutton. Do you have that and pull it up? I want the public to hear how he disseminated the documents and information to his staff on government email.
Sure. Well,
so if you would, you have that email now.
Yeah, I do.
Read it. Just read that to and from in the body. I want the public to hear.
Sure. This,
I don't want them to think that we're sitting here making it up, nitpicking.
Well, this was the Rush Limbaugh thing was January, February, March, and this came right at the tail end of March. It was a friend and supporter of Tom's named Kimo Sutton. And I don't know if I've ever met him in person, but he's big in Republican circles. And so Sutton wrote Berg a message at Berg's city email at his council office, and Berg shared it with us. And
staff.
With the staff, at City Hall. And so the email, I don't know, why don't you decide for yourself if you think it's appropriate to share this kind of thing on your taxpayer-funded email system. But the email wrote, "Aloha, Comrade Chang. While your sensitivity as a new council person shows inexperience, it also shows the elitism of your education. It has kept you out of Hawaii and the rich culture of its population. We're making fun of each other as a way to laugh about what keeps the mainland in a politically correct world. I bet you don't have a sense of humor when it comes to ethnically based jokes. How about Harvard or Iolani? Now you and the rest of the majority of the city council will be forefront on a national stage, where you will get a lesson, not in politically correct thinking, but in humor, and with you as the joke. Why do you want to replace the former elected man of Chinese background, meaning Charles DeJoux, as the blunt of jokes? Yes, Rod Tam. Now you defend him and who against making American light of speech and one in the entertainment news business? Is that First Amendment or dictatorship? And here's the part that really got me, Carol, was, did you hear the one about Stanley Chang? He and Rod Tam were having lunch at Zippy's with each other, and they had no money, so they called for Rush Limbaugh to apologize. He said, Chin, 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 Tam, and Chang is the other man. Why do you two have no cash? We were laughed out of office. We will beg for nap. So a Jew picked up the tab for them, and she said, I was governor, but I never lost my sense of place. Next, a black man wanted to help pay and said, you need to have a reason to be poor, not stupid. Then a blind man came up to give the tip for them and said, you do not need eyes to see that the joke is on you. As with many fables, Stanley Chang, this has a purpose. Don't take on more than you can chew. Kung Hee Fat Choi. And, well, anyway, when I saw this, I go, what is Tom thinking? You know, first of all, we come to City Hall, Tea Party Republicans, already having the national taint, if you will, of possibly being racists. Mm-hmm. and, you know, white Republican Tea Partiers, you know, there's already that cross to bear.
Right.
Why do we need to substantiate it by saying these kind of things, like calling, you know, a fellow council member who's Chinese chinky poo? And why do we have to call Hawaiian people skinheads? Why do we need to share emails that have this racial stuff?
And they're below the Planet of the Apes.
Yeah, right. When you sent me that email from Republican Party locally, and referring to the two people he also called skinheads, he compares them to Planet of the Apes. Mm-hmm. And it's like, that's the exact opposite. Whether you feel that way and you have actual racism within you or not, I can't believe he'd actually articulate it, write it, say it, keep bringing it up.
And send it. And Rex Johnson quit his job. Well, take that back.
Yeah.
After the Democrats and the liberals protected him. So
exactly.
Bigotry. And this is what's happening with the Republican Party, in my opinion. When you catch vermin, you find vermin, if you find mold in your ranks, get rid of it. Don't circle the wagons and protect then protect them and then throw stones at those who want to speak out against.
Precisely.
So, again, I'm sure there are detractors out there, but bring it on, folks. As long as Eric is willing to present it and share it with us, you can make your own informed opinion, or you can call it poppycock if you want to, or whatever. Yeah. But in this society, in this community, we know the real problems. What? Bad roads, bad government, programs that were can still be easily funded.
Yes.
Instead of funding senior citizen programs or something of that nature,
we're
funding overtime and pickup of trash.
Yeah.
We're funding waste of monies and millions of dollars in trucks and on and on and on.
That's
right.
Oh, yeah.
And about Berg's intent when he arrived here
in
Hall, you talked about and you showed me an email where he was specific in saying that once he's in, can you read that just? I don't want to steal from the real thrust of this,
email. Thank you. So the special election that got Tom Berg elected, the campaign I managed, he won on December 29th of last year. He was going to get sworn in just a few weeks later in January. Well, just a few days before getting sworn in, we were in the mode of – I was the first person he hired and became his chief of staff, even though we weren't sworn in yet. We were in the business of being able to hire up to 5-6 people to work in the office. Well, we were under a lot of pressure from one of Tom's close allies and buddies and former employer, Kim Pine, state representative from Eva Beach, who lives just down the road from me and Tom. Anyway, she really wanted us to hire on our staff a fellow named John Goldner, who's Kim Pine's campaign chair and her chief of staff. She wanted him gone from her office and working for us. So Tom was trying to figure out a way to politely tell Kim, no, we don't want to hire him. And here's the way he explained it. He said, Kim, in my efforts, and he wrote this in an email to her January 2nd, Kim, in my efforts, we are always going to be a team, and we need to craft victories for 2010 all around. With John Goldner running in 2012 for his own accord for State House, which he plans to do, I will need all staffers in my office focused on my reelection efforts. I don't have the network of support that you have, Kim, in your, you know, re-election, to offer a staff position whereby that person, if I hire John from you, is using his time running for himself in his campaign for his own accord. I need all staff committed to the Berg front. Mm-hmm. I was blessed when I worked for you to have you provide vacation time for me so I could campaign for my efforts. But I'm not at your level where I can forfeit that position and be shorthanded to help John. I can't have him as my representative getting FaceTime. I go to all my own meetings myself. John would never get the stage with me out there promoting and grooming him like you can from your office, where he can represent you at neighborhood board meetings and such. I am puzzled why you would not want to help John get elected in 2012, utilizing the opportunity stemming from him working at your office, where he can get major exposure, as compared to my office, where he would not at all be visible. And then the final sentence, I was planning on hiring team players that could help both of us with our mission at hand of getting reelected. It would be very distressful for me to hire John, who would be doing his own thing for 2012, leaving me shorthanded. I mean, that's as clear a blueprint as can be for what the purpose of hiring the kind of people we wanted to hire at City Hall.
Reen Mancho went to jail for what?
Reen Mancho basically had people on her staff doing exactly that. They were there to help her get reelected, working on her campaign while at City Hall.
Tom Berg, that one sentence again, he wanted his people...
Yeah, I want all of my staffers in my office focused on Berg's reelection efforts.
No,
and that's
illegal.
And it's by definition exactly the same as Reen Mancho.
Yeah. And so... Rod Tam gets, he's still hanging and dangling from the limb until someone decide whether they, how bad they do him.
Right.
But Andrew Jamila gets $120,000 and a $650 fine and get apologies in a written opinion.
Right.
He could run for president. He could take this opinion from the Ethics Commission.
Yes.
And use it as part of his resume to say, even though I got caught doing wrong and you
yes.
told me I did wrong.
Yeah.
Here's my resume because the Ethics Commission said I'm a good guy.
Right.
And all of those other crooks
yes.
authorized me to do it, you see.
Well, let me tell you something that's going to sicken you. One of my first memories from this earlier half of this year at the city council, every month the city council meets, all nine members. Mm-hmm. This is the big meeting, and, you know, they have a big agenda. But the business meeting for the city council every month starts at 10 a.m. But at 9 a.m., from 9 to 10, they have these honorary certificates where every council member, he or she, gets to give an honorary certificate and make a little mini speech about how great some person or group or whatever is.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we'd only been at City Hall for a few weeks, and at one of these celebratory honorary certificate giving periods for an hour before the actual council meeting starts, they called up Rod Tam to give him an honorary certificate for his service on the city council. Now, never in my life, I mean, that'd be like Nixon resigning in disgrace and then Congress voting to give him a Medal of Honor, mm-hmm. you know, like the next week. So here you've got Rod Tam, who took the $14,000 that every city council member has every year to work with. It's called their contingency fund.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you sometimes spend it on things like maybe lays or for office supplies and, you know, things that you need to make the office run. But you get Rod Tam using it for food.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you get what happened with Andy Mercatani. If you remember, Councilman Andy Mercatani went to prison. What did he do? Well, he gave pay raises to his staff with city money in exchange for them giving some of that higher money back to him in the form of campaign contributions.
Mm-hmm.
And I will tell you, you've got friends down there at the Ethics Commission. Well, I shouldn't call them friends, but relations, because you give them information they should be acting on. This coming week, the City Ethics Commission will be hearing from me, yours truly, that not only did Tom Berg do what Rod Tam did, which was take money from that contingency fund and use it for campaign purposes, he also did what Reen Mancho did, like we just talked about, using city staffers to do his campaigning.
Mm-hmm.
But he also did what Andy Mercatani did, which was expect money back from his city employees
mm-hmm.
for use for the campaign.
Mm-hmm.
And all of those things put together, I can't imagine a scenario where Tom Berg could survive, or would we want him to?
Mm-hmm. Well, I encourage you to go to the Ethics Commission, because we get
yeah.
two birds with one stone. We
yes.
get to find out who's doing something wrong,
yes.
and we report them,
right.
and then we see how spineless
right.
that the Ethics Commission is, and how they exhaust our resources that we give them. They claim it's a small amount, but even that amount is a waste if you are going to serve as the finder of facts and
yes.
the adjudicator and then the prosecutor and then reward the party, that the perpetrator, with kind words such as this. In this case, Mr. Jamila failed to recuse himself from voting on 9 landfill matters and failed to disclose his conflicts of interest on the following dates: May 1, 6, 20, and 2009, and
yep.
then June 10, 2009, July 31, 2009, and August 4, 2009, despite the fact that there were 16 ethics violations for failure to recuse and disclose the conflict of interest. These 16 violations are related to only one matter, before the Planning Commission regarding the application to expand the landfill.
Right.
Further, unlike former council chair person Oppo, who received a salary for his official duties.
Yeah.
Mr. Jamil is an unpaid volunteer for the city. Therefore, the Ethics Commission believes that a fine in the amount of $500 is appropriate. So you can sit there and commit conspiracy of sort, or who knows? They didn't delve into it to see if he was given these grants for favors and then get the word, okay, we need you to vote this way. I did go and pull up their records and DPP, and I will be posting those on his votes and all. But again, why do they need to apologize and explain to us and for his resume?
Yeah.
Yes, he got caught with his hand in the cookie jar, but he was hungry.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure the irony is not lost on you, Carol, that directly across Punchbowl from City Hall is this place called the State Capitol. And over there is a state Ethics Commission, and the head of that is in the crosshairs of politicians because he actually takes his job a little bit more seriously. Over there, he recently made the clear ruling that it doesn't matter if you're just a volunteer member of a board or a commission and you're not an actual state worker. The rules apply to you equally as if you were on the state payroll. It doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. But across the street, again, back at City Hall, you've got the City Ethics Commission, and they're trying to water it down. First, they take a year to get back over such flagrant violations, in your case. And then they give them a slap on the wrist to say, like, okay, well, rape isn't really rape.
Right.
You know, burglary isn't really burglary because it depends how much you take away from the situation. If you're not on the city payroll as an employee, it's okay to steal. Maybe, you know, we'll give you a slap on the wrist. But but they differentiate, like, between levels of criminality.
How many drinks does it take for a person to be drunk enough to drive down a one-way road or the wrong way on traffic and kill someone?
Exactly.
Does the Ethics Commission go there and say, well, you know, considering the average person drinks four drinks before they're at any level detected, he just drank one extra one.
Yeah.
Not telling us how large or how irresponsible he is, and not considering the fact that someone died or was maimed.
Right.
This is the sick part of our government here.
Right.
When people say, well, how, you know, the Congress and we have it up there. Of course you do. And speaking of Congress, I took it upon myself to call Congress and to try. I'm curious.
Sure.
And I'll say this for the first time public on air. I'm curious as to why our governor, current governor, Neil Abercrombie, gave up such a luxury.
Yeah.
You know, jet setting and going wherever wanted, and he's the man, and when he walks in, I was going to say everybody look up to him, but, you know, it's a short of stature. I'm not making fun of his
No, you're not.
But you should see him at some of these dinners and fundraisers. You think God himself has walked in in this Democratic Party. And they all, I mean, penguins behave better. You know, they have a purpose in life.
Yes.
They march in line.
Yeah.
So that their species can carry on.
Right.
Democrats do it for God only knows what reason, because I don't see any mating going
on. I think you actually said it, so their species can carry on.
Yeah.
They need to be that reverential towards the governor
at
the city level, the mayor, to get handed out those favors.
Yeah. And Patty Teruya finds her way in a penguin fashion to Tom Berg, praises him, applauds him. Then, hey, get this done. She was active in campaigning against the Nanakuli B landfill.
There you go.
Now, all of a sudden, she's a flip-flop because the PVT is filing legal action, so she's seeing the sun rise. And she knows now where the sun rises and where it sets.
Not sure.
But,
well, take a look at the news lately. The issue of Neil Abercrombie wanting those commissioners at the Stadium Authority to step aside, the ones that Lingle appointed, even though their terms are years from being expired, Abercrombie wants his own people in there.
Right.
That, just like the Ethics Commission, just like the City Planning Commission, just like all these boards and commissions, is basically an unpaid volunteer job like Andrew Jamila had on the Planning Commission. Why is it so important for someone like Abercrombie to get his own volunteers onto that commission and not wait for the terms of those people to expire? My friends, it's because these boards and commissions have so much power. They do the things that the politicians are even too nervous to do in making the decisions that they make, that they have a lot of power. This is that small clique of people, and if you look, you're going to see, like, the head of this bank is on this board, this authority, this commission. Mm-hmm. You look at this person, this PR person is on that board, that board, that board, that board. And you get these people, you wonder, like, who the heck are these people? And why do they even want to help and do these jobs?
Right.
This is the mutual back scratching that goes on. Mm-hmm. The interlocking directorates of all these different boards, commissions, institutions. This is how you pay someone back. Mm-hmm. I'm going to show up and be part of your lame little board and vote the way you want me to, and in exchange, you're going to do this for me, mm-hmm. which is totally separate.
Yeah, Google Tim John's name, for example.
Yeah.
And look and see how many boards, and you think, you know, wait. What does this guy bring to the table?
Right.
Andrew Jamila.
Right.
If he can't read an email.
Right.
To find out that he's not supposed to be voting and to recuse himself.
Yeah.
How can he read these complex proposals and ordinances and what have you, right?
Exactly.
Nothing too personal, but once right. you cross the threshold and become a government
yes.
affiliated person,
right.
you owe it to us to demonstrate. But back to yeah. Congressman or former Congressman Neil Abercrombie.
Right.
I'm curious why one would give up such a luxury and a luxurious position.
Yes.
I suspect ethics violations somewhere. Now, pardon me, folks.
Yeah.
Do I have any right to say that? Freedom of speech, freedom of thought, and I'm thinking it aloud. I contacted the congressional office, and I'm wanting to file a FOIA
yeah.
so that I can put my mind to rest. Because, see, Mr. Abercrombie, they don't even respond or send me a press release. I'm lower than
yes.
low, but
yeah.
you know, but
right.
Barack Obama is his best friend. So I guess once you have one African American in you don't need to respect the others, you know. But I'm curious.
Yes.
What happened? Why would he give up that seat? Were there ethics violations? Well, my concern is
right.
others have shared with me that they suspect and they have strong suspicions and Nancy Pelosi. So I inquired of the office of the ethics office, and here's what the public will be shocked about. Do you know you can't FOIA Congress?
Like the ethics commission, the ethics committee?
Right.
Yeah,
you can't.
The rules committee.
You can't. And you can't. So whatever transpires, whatever they do up there,
yeah.
whatever.
It stays in the cloakroom.
Stays in the club.
Yeah.
I thought of the people, for the people, by the people, but it should, in today's word, we should amend and say from the people.
Yeah. Well, he had a guaranteed lifetime job. Who from Hawaii does not get reelected every time they run for Congress or Senate? If you're in, you're in forever.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he probably would have been one of the odds-on favorites to replace one of the two Dans,
right.
who we, you know, Akaka and Inouye are kind of long in the tooth.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone's betting who's going to take their place. It was a shoo-in to be a U.S. senator.
Right.
Who would have thought an anti-war hippie from UH, okay. With his, you know, interesting past, could go on to become a U.S. senator from Hawaii?
Mm-hmm.
But he is in the bag, unless... Unless.
Mm-hmm. And yet here I'm the environmentalist who want to do news stories. Well, we didn't think you were interested in that, so therefore we don't put you on the list for receiving a press release because we didn't think that you would be interested. We thought you just did environmental. Well, Mr. Abercrombie, what if I wanted to change jobs? Do I have a right to do that?
Maybe you could just slum it like the rest of us and sign up for his Twitter page.
Good morning, call, a comment, or question?
Hey, morning, Carol. Just thinking of what Abercrombie did, you know, he left Congress and went to become our governor. C.F. Dow did the same thing, but he didn't win, you know.
That's right.
He left Congress.
Yeah, well, that's fine. So what are you saying? You got some information to tell me I should put my thing to rest? What are you saying?
No. I think Senator Dan might have some kind of influence against Mr. Abercrombie to leave because, you know, just as Abercrombie left... Akaka is stepping down. You know, it was ironic that, you know,
okay.
Abercrombie was there, and if you knew that Akaka was going to step down, you could step right in. But
well, something's wrong. But again, I'm speaking to the whole of things, that how at every level, you know, how badly broken it is. And then when we get the one last piece of rescue item, the Ethics Commission, and instead of hammering it home, they make apologies.
Your caller's picked up on something that is always, well, always for the past year and a half, really intrigued me, which is, why did Mufi not win? Why did Abercrombie come from behind and overtake Mufi, who had virtually every major endorsement and backing and money that there was? Why did Abercrombie, why was he able to beat Mufi, despite the fact that everyone in town who spends more than 5 seconds looking at this realizes Mufi was being groomed for bigger and better things, to become the new Inoue, because he definitely knows the game. He knows who the chief beneficiaries of the game are supposed to be. He's gotten himself really polished and smooth from, you know, back, you know, the old thug days, you know, real smooth now. In fact, yesterday I heard a radio commercial as I was driving of him doing the voiceover for a commercial promoting the sheet metal workers union. And I'm like, well, that's a weird way for him to resurface politically, you know, something like that. But this guy, Mufi, had it in the bag and had all the backing and Inoue's blessing and everything. And it was really the people of Hawaii, I think, got sick of being told who to vote for briefly during the election. And they said, well, we'll send a message by going with Abercrombie. But it doesn't mean Abercrombie's wonderful. You know, the people, I think, sort of sent a message. But what's fun to do after any election is take a look at who got all the endorsements, who got all the money, who got all the great testimonials. And that was Mufi. And why did he lose despite all that backing? I have a, going back now to Carol's question, I think there's a pretty good chance that Abercrombie was encouraged to make room. Make room for someone like Mufi who could move up and take his place.
Well, this is why when we catch a Tom Berg, we take him out of the system and have the Republicans or liberals or Democrats or independents or Green Party members stand up.
Yeah.
Don't shelter this guy. And I mean, we've seen the long list of problems.
Oh,
with
sure.
Him. So this is why we never see the aisle grow. I couldn't get Charles DeJude to come on my show because why? Because I don't want to venture into why. But the fact is he talks like a parrot in a jazz choir or whatever when it comes to other stations and everywhere else. But I'm not going to eat him. I mean, he's not my flavor of the conversations that he have. But to reach out.
Yeah.
Panas Prevedoros has no problem coming on the show.
Sure.
But all of them, I'll call up. If I call Linda Lingle, she would push me aside. But I could go out and vote for it and hustle votes. But she wouldn't come on the show.
Right.
Sam Sloan, small business. I would have him on.
Yeah.
But they stay on the other side of the track, so to speak. You see,
yes.
And then turn around when Tom Berg shows up
making
remarks against Chinese people and people of
color,
what have you, and inviting others. Something's wrong with that. We need to understand while we're not saying they're racist, they have to understand when they find amongst their ranks, they have to clean house.
They do.
So that's why I think one of the bigger factors, people don't vote. And we're not seeing an increase in numbers on Republican.
Yeah.
When they get a chance to demonstrate we are for all people, they go mute.
They do. And I know that you're as shocked as anybody when we saw the current chair of the Hawaii GOP, Jonah Kaawai, stand up there in the same news story defending Tom Berg, who was calling Jonah and his executive director, Dylan, a couple of skinheads running the party, angrily. Berg denouncing them just angrily, just shoving, you know, socking it to them. Bunch of skinheads, the party of the skinheads, and I can't stand these people, and they got to go, and we got to take over the party, we got to destroy the party, whatever. And, you know, this is the same guy who skinheads, chinky poo, and ching chong, ching chang, and all this stuff that he was saying, during his first 6 months in office. And then for the head of the GOP to defend that, you know, if there's any time to point out a problem and give it a poster child so that we can all learn from the experience. That was the moment.
Right now.
And we failed at that exact moment, let's say Republicans, to say we're a viable second voice. And we failed. We dropped the ball at that exact moment when Jonah apologized for him.
Well, anyway, we're down at our last minute and a couple. I wanted to touch on a few things. I appreciate you joining me. And
thank
again,
you, Carol.
Feel free to come in and take over the show again. you know, I just and those that have warned me, I invite them to come on. And but we need to talk real stuff. I mean, $2 million and golfers getting iced out because we need to give money to the benefit package that didn't work and that audit showed that it weren't and they were stealing money and hiding money. It's shameful. But anyway, a couple other things on the city front. And Eric, thank you for joining me today. August 12th, a memo was written. This is the EMS office. Randall Tanaka is the deputy now, and Wayne Cross. We're informed that Patty Dukes has been removed or for some reason, but it's suspected that it has something to do with a calendar that was put out for breast cancer, the Coleman Breast Cancer Foundation, Susan Coleman Breast Cancer Foundation. And they were allowed to use their trucks but can't use city emblems and what have you. Some say that is why she is on suspension or whatever it is. We don't know clearly, but this week we're going to ask the EMS office what is going on. And this is something to do with that, and they were going to make a calendar. So Mark Riggs signed this memo, and Wayne Cruz is the chief EMS now. And again, what we hoped to do is to bring to you a couple things. We've been contacted by the by some citizens who say that PUC is encouraging its workers to not the PUC, the HECO is encouraging its workers to get as much overtime so they can go in and have testimony and show cost to the PUC. So we're going to look at that and all of that. And again, this is bits and pieces, but we'll try to give it to you as we get it. And thank you for joining me. Eric, again, thank you.
Thank you, sir.
And keep us posted.
Will do.
You got me running. You got me high.